given the perceived threat that he poses, should President Trump, in your estimation, remain in office?
I've been saying for now well over a year, he is not fit to serve. He's one of the most incompetent presidents in the history of the United States of America. And so the idea that I think he shouldn't be out of office yesterday is not the issue. The question is, what happens with 14 days left to go or 13 days left to go?
Great question. Let's talk about it, Mr. President-elect. By the way, it's only 12 days, but who's counting?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, Round Mountains KKRN, and Eureka's KGOE. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WLRI, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, Columbus, Ohio's WGRN, in Palinville, New York on WLPP, in Rochester, New York on WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, in Concord, New Hampshire on WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, and Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, Workforce Rising, No Lies Radio, Deprogrammed Radio, Verdant Square Radio, and Detour Talk. Blanketing Planet Earth 5 days a week, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Here's the news. Donald Trump will remain president at most at this point for another 12 days. Joe Biden's comments about 13 or 14 notwithstanding. 12 days until Inauguration Day, when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn into office. Whether Trump will still be president by then is right now a very live question as we go to air this hour. We do know, however, that Trump will not be at the inauguration, as he has said as much on Twitter on Friday, and reports are that he and his clan are planning to bug out on January 19th, the day before Inauguration Day. Good riddance.
Don't let the screen door hit you on the way out.
There you go. By the way, good riddance is exactly what the American Federation of Teachers said in their two-word press release statement on Thursday night after the news that Trump's education secretary, Betsy DeVos, had joined the growing ranks of Trump mobsters falling over themselves trying to get to the exits right around now. So, yeah. Welcome to the Bradcast. Flags are flying today at half staff, sadly, at the Capitol building after a U.S. Capitol police officer was declared dead on Thursday night. He is said to have died from injuries sustained when he engaged with the pro-Trump mob that descended on the U.S. Capitol the day before, according to a statement from Capitol Police. Officer Brian Sicknick died at about 9:30 p.m. on Thursday night. He had been with the agency since 2008. The officer was responding to the riots on Wednesday and was injured while physically engaging with protesters, according to the agency. Although officials did not immediately elaborate on his injuries or how he interacted with the crowd, according to the New York Times, after sustaining his injuries, Sicknick returned to his division office, collapsed, and was taken to the hospital. The officer's death brings the death toll from the violent raid and attempted insurrection of the U.S. Capitol, as incited moments before by the President of the United States himself on Wednesday, now to 5. One of the people participating in the pro-Trump rampage, Ashley Babbitt, was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer as she climbed through a broken window to the Speaker's lobby. 3 other people died, according to police, after experiencing apparent medical emergencies around the Capitol. One of them was reportedly trampled to death. President Trump, who has pretended for years to support the men and women of law enforcement, did not even bother to mention Officer Sicknick in the morning. He posted on Twitter on Friday about, quote, 75 million great American patriots who voted for me. That number, in fact, was far closer to 74 million. But in any event, the officer's death certainly raises the increasingly perilous legal danger that Donald Trump now finds himself in just days before leaving office. Homicide investigators from the Metropolitan Police Department are said to be involved in this case now. Officials say that some 50 police officers were injured as this mob swarmed barricades, threw objects, battered doors, smashed windows, stole computer equipment, perhaps secure documents out of offices around the Capitol, and overwhelmed the officers who tried to resist the advancing crowd. The wreckage left behind by the mob that rampaged through the Capitol on Wednesday is reportedly extensive. In case you were wondering what type of folks these people are, and if they were actually there at the Capitol to fight for voting rights and ensure a clean election. Well, a memorial set up to honor former Congressman John Lewis, the civil rights icon and pioneer who died just months ago, was destroyed with a photograph of Congressman Lewis who spilled his blood in the fight for voting rights, completely destroyed, torn into pieces, according to a longtime Capitol Hill staffer who was inside at the time of the attack. Are you surprised, Desi Doyen?
I am not surprised at all. I'm disgusted. It is obscene, but I have to say I am very, very thankful for the brave journalists who went in unarmed to document what was happening.
As noted, the death, the murder, the manslaughter, whatever it's determined to be, of the Capitol Hill police officer now raises the personal legal stakes right now for Donald J. Trump at a moment that his political fortunes are reported to be even more tenuous right now with each passing hour. Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Friday morning said that the House will move to impeach President Trump over his role in inciting that violent mob attack at the Capitol if he does not resign, quote, immediately. She appealed to Republicans to join the push to force him from office, invoking the time that Republicans helped encourage Richard Nixon to leave office during Watergate, calling Trump's actions, quote, a horrific assault on our democracy. You think Republicans will take Nancy Pelosi up on that, Des?
Sadly, it's an open question.
Today, she writes, following the president's dangerous and seditious acts, Republicans in Congress need to follow that example, call on Trump to depart his office immediately. She wrote, if the president does not leave office immediately, imminently and willingly, the Congress will proceed with our action. She sounds serious. Pelosi also said she had spoken with General Mark Milley, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about preventing an unstable president from initiating military hostilities or accessing the nuclear launch codes. A spokesman for Milley confirmed that the two had indeed spoken, said the general, quote, had answered her questions regarding the process of nuclear command authority. Some Defense Department officials, however, privately expressed anger that political leaders seem to be trying to get the Pentagon to do the work of Congress and cabinet secretaries who actually have legal options to remove a president from office. Trump they noted, is still the commander-in-chief, and unless he is removed, the military is bound to follow his lawful orders, whatever they may be. Yeah, including launching nuclear weapons upon his order with no review necessary within the existing chain of command structure. That's something that ought to be looked at pretty damn soon, at, you know, before or after Donald Trump leaves office at this point. While military officials can refuse to carry out orders that they view as illegal, they can't proactively remove the president from the chain of command. So if he gives the orders, that is that. If they don't, that would be a military coup, according to the officials. The letter from Pelosi came as momentum for impeachment is rapidly growing. On Friday, the rank-and-file Democrats were really beginning to push for this action across the party's ideological spectrum. And even a handful of Republicans are now offering potential support for the removal of the president. Senator Ben Sasse, Republican of Nebraska, said he would, quote, definitely consider whatever articles they might move because I believe the president has disregarded his oath of office. He told CBS that Trump, quote, swore an oath to the American people to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. He acted against that, says Republican Senator Sasse. So, yeah, as delighted as we all are that Donald Trump will no longer be president in just under 2 weeks' time, he still presents a unique, clear, and present danger to the nation and the world over the next week and a half or so. We will be discussing that clear and present danger and what can now be done about it with just days left in his presidency and what should be done thereafter, with a former federal prosecutor who will join us momentarily, who even before Wednesday's riot at the Capitol had already issued a new call on Tuesday for Trump to be impeached a second time during the few weeks that Trump has left in office, and for a very specific reason. He'll be joining us momentarily to discuss all of that as events continue to move very quickly right now. First, however, as we reported, this was likely coming a week or two ago, after Dominion voting systems began sending legal notices and warnings to Team Trump attorneys and right-wing media outlets like Fox News and Newsmax and One America News, whatever that thing is called, OAN. The private Canadian-based voting system vendor is now beginning to make good on their threats. Dominion Voting Systems on Friday filed a defamation lawsuit against Team Trump lawyer Sidney Powell, demanding more than $1.3 billion, billion in damages for the havoc that it says Powell has caused by spreading, quote, wild and demonstrably false allegations, including that Dominion played a central role in a fantastical scheme to steal the 2020 election from Donald Trump. For weeks, Powell has been claiming that Dominion was established with communist money in Venezuela to enable ballot stuffing and other vote manipulation, and that those abilities were then harnessed to rig the election for former Vice President Joe Biden. Now, here I must note again that this false tie to Venezuela that Powell has been pushing is based on a wild, bastardized, completely reimagined version of my own accurate, correct, original deep dive investigative reporting at bradblog.com from about 2008 to 2010. I will try to link to some of it when I post tonight's show. But the point is, what I reported regarding Dominion and two other companies who were both competitors of Dominion and their ties to Venezuela was accurate and correct. What Sidney Powell has turned it all into now is not correct, and it is why she is being sued and I was not. I've heard from a bunch of mostly wingnuts over the past couple of months since Election Day claiming that I was some kind of a hypocrite for calling Dominion out 10 years ago, but not doing so now. But of course, I did not call them out 10 years ago for what these loons are now pretending that they did. And I have continued to call out Dominion plenty for their terrible, unverifiable touchscreen voting systems forced on voters by Georgia's Republican Secretary of State for the first time in 2020. If you've been listening to the show over the past several years, you know that. You're probably sick of hearing about it. But I was also doing that for years prior to these election, to this election day, before these clucks ever even heard the words Dominion voting systems. And yes, I will continue to call out their unverifiable and even their verifiable systems whenever they fail. And by the way, yes, I still maintain that there is no place for private vendors in our public election system. All right, so with that out of the way, in their 124-page complaint filed in the U.S. District Court for D.C., Dominion said that its reputation and resale value have been deeply damaged by a, quote, viral disinformation campaign that Powell mounted, quote, to financially enrich herself, to raise her public profile, and to ingratiate herself to Donald Trump. Yeah, that sounds about right. The defendants named in the lawsuit include Powell, her law firm, and Defending the Republic is the organization that she set up to solicit donations to support these phony election-related lawsuits. In an interview with the Washington Post, the CEO of Dominion, John Paulus, said the lawsuit aims to clear his company's name through a full airing of the facts about the 2020 election, and says he would like the case to go to trial rather than settle. Cool. So far, I have not yet been subpoenaed to testify in that trial. I hope that I am not. I suspect I won't be, because I don't know if Dominion's going to like what I have to say about them. But in any event, L. Lynn Wood, this lawyer who has been working with Powell on post-election lawsuits, he's become a hero among folks on the right. He also appears to have very serious and sad mental problems, frankly. He says that he is representing Powell in connection to the defamation matters. He called the lawsuit an attempted, quote, an attempt to, quote, censor speech or try to intimidate people from telling the truth. Okay? And while I am not in the business of advising Sidney Powell about anything, my first piece of advice would be to get a new lawyer, a real one, and fast, as I suspect she likely will soon, if she can find one willing to work with her at this point. As Powell's accusations about Dominion spread after the election, the company's employees were stalked and harassed, received death threats via email and text and phone. One text message said, quote, "We are already watching you." This was a text message to one Dominion employee, according to the Dominion complaint, which also included, quote, "Come clean and you will live." This was one of the threats sent to one of the Dominion employees, thanks in no small part to Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of them, who all deserve to be sued by this company for defamation. They say they have spent more than $500,000 on protection for their own personnel since the election. At news conferences, political rallies, and on conservative media outlets like Newsmax and Fox News, according to the New York Times, Powell has for months falsely accused Dominion of working with a bizarre cast of characters, from the financier George Soros to Venezuelan intelligence agents. The allegations have been contained in four federal lawsuits that Powell filed across the country, all of which have been dismissed by the judges that heard them, roundly dismissed. Dominion also demanded that she retract her baseless statements that Dominion paid kickbacks to officials in Georgia for no-bid contracts and then manipulated votes in a, quote, effort to rig the 2020 election. Here I should also note, we have been highly critical for several years now of those Georgia officials that Powell was referring to, The officials who selected Dominion's unverifiable touchscreens for use in 2020 after the lawsuit by the Coalition for Good Governance successfully resulted in Georgia's previous 20-year-old unverifiable Diebold touchscreen voting systems being banned in the state by a federal judge who called them insecure, unverifiable, and therefore unconstitutional. Dominion, their voting systems may still face the same fate, their new ones, as that lawsuit is still ongoing, as we have discussed many times on this show with plaintiff Marilyn Marks, the founder and director of the coalition. To my knowledge, however, there is no evidence whatsoever that Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who selected the machines, or Republican Governor Brian Kemp, who suppressed voters under the previous system, when he served as Secretary of State, there is no evidence that any of them, to my knowledge, received kickbacks from any company, despite Powell's claims that she went on and made, not on behalf of a client, but she went on TV and made these outrageous claims that for a short 4 or 5 minutes led Donald Trump to pretend she was not involved in his legal efforts. After receiving the warning letter from Dominion, according to the Times, Powell didn't retract her claims as the company had demanded. Instead, the lawsuit says she doubled down, sending a tweet to her more than 1 million followers that she had, quote, evidence that fraud occurred in the election, even after four judges in various states' elections and state election officials, repeatedly debunked her claims. What she called evidence, the suit says, includes declarations from a motley crew of conspiracy theorists, con artists, armchair experts, and anonymous sources who were judicially determined to be, quote, wholly unreliable. I also agree with that. The suit notes, for example, that one of Powell's so-called sources was a, quote, military intelligence expert who later admitted that he never, in fact, worked in military intelligence. And he acknowledged that Powell's law clerks had written and convinced him to sign a, quote, misleading declaration that he had. Dominion has suggested that it may sue others as well. Please do. Please do. Last month, the company sent a series of letters to people, including Rudy Giuliani, who led Trump's post-election legal campaign, if you can call it that, and right-wing media figures like Lou Dobbs and Sean Hannity. Yes, sue them too. Demanding that they keep any evidence relevant to the suit. And company representatives have also said Dominion has not ruled out suing Donald Trump as well. Good. Please do. Trump and his allies lost dozens of their own lawsuits challenging the election. They brought Powell back into the inner circle, at one point discussing the possibility of naming her as a special counsel to investigate voter fraud. That, of course, is just one more legal headache that may be ahead for the president of the United States right now. But it may be the least of his worries at the moment, as there is a very real push right now to force him out of office immediately. And there are many who wish to ensure that he faces accountability for a long list of both federal and state crimes that he may be forced to answer to as of, well, I don't know, 12:01 p.m. Wednesday, January 20th at the latest, just after President-elect Biden becomes the next president of the United States. One of the folks fighting to ensure accountability for this criminal president, a former federal prosecutor, Ben Clements, joins me next on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial. Yeah, kind of turning into a ghost town at the White House right around now. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. After inciting a mob of his angry supporters to attack the Capitol, President Trump attempted to backtrack on Thursday night by posting a video of him woodenly acknowledging his electoral defeat. Sort of. And suddenly denouncing the violent insurrection he helped to instigate just one day earlier. But according to a report by the New York Times today, he reportedly only made that video in an attempt to avoid potentially being held legally accountable for the riot. The Times reports that Trump did not want to make the speech at all at first and was only convinced to do so after White House counsel warned him on Wednesday night that he could face a criminal investigation for actively encouraging his supporters to storm the Capitol in a clash that left at least five people, now including a Capitol Hill police officer, dead. Only then did Trump reluctantly agree to tape a video, which many remarked appeared not unlike a forced hostage video, condemning his supporters' attack, even though he had privately enjoyed it, according to the Times. He had previously issued a statement praising the insurrectionists as, quote, very special, and telling them, quote, we love you. In a video that was removed by Twitter and resulted in his account being locked for a number of hours, the social media company has since shamefully restored his access to the account where he made this rather wooden video. The president, in that hostage video on Thursday night, claimed that his, quote, focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power, and that this moment calls for healing and reconciliation. He and the White House happened to post the video just several hours after acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Michael Sherwin, left the door open for a potential criminal investigation into Trump, saying, quote, we are looking at all actors here and anyone that had a role. If the evidence fits the element of a crime, they are going to be charged, he said. Trump's attempt to pretend his way out of the mess that he created for himself also comes after about a dozen staffers, now including two cabinet members, the wife of Mitch McConnell, Elaine Chao, who headed up the Department of Transportation, and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who says she's had enough as of the siege of the Capitol, though only after four employees of Blackwater, a paramilitary security company owned by her own brother, Eric Prince, were pardoned by the president recently for their roles in the war crimes massacre of more than a dozen Iraqi civilians some years ago. So as the rats are leaving Trump's sinking ship, after years of fealty to him, some are, well, trying to save themselves, trying to save the president. It's unclear. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, two rats who are still on board, reportedly held informal discussions with staffers on having Trump removed from office through the 25th Amendment after he instigated that violent insurrection at the Capitol on Wednesday, according to CNBC. The top Trump officials, however, ultimately decided against invoking that constitutional provision, reportedly due to concerns of angering the president's base and that there wouldn't be enough time to carry out the proceedings before he has to leave office on January 20 anyway. A former official familiar with the discussions told CNBC that, quote, the general plan now is to let the clock run out. He says there will be a reckoning for this president, but it doesn't need to happen in the next 13 days. Democrats, meanwhile, have been pressuring Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment ever since Trump inspired his supporters to take over the Capitol building on Wednesday. During a press conference on Thursday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned of a potential second impeachment for Trump if Pence and cabinet secretaries refuse to have the president removed. On Friday, she called for Trump's immediate resignation or vowed that articles of impeachment would be filed for a second time on Monday. But before that siege on Wednesday this past week at the Capitol, on Tuesday, our friends John Bonifaz, Ron Fine, and Ben Clements, longtime attorneys with the nonpartisan, nonprofit good government accountability group Free Speech for People, were already calling for Trump's second impeachment. As usual, they were ahead of the crowd. On Sunday, they wrote in a Boston Globe op-ed on Tuesday, America heard a recording of a phone call in which President Trump pressured Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to, quote, find 11,780 votes to reverse the state's presidential election result. Yes, that also happened over this past week. In case, like me, you had already pretty much completely forgotten about that stunning recording in which the president tried to convince Georgia's top election official to change election results to steal the election in the Peach State for Donald Trump. Clements, Bonifaz, and Fine writes, some say we should focus on moving forward and putting this presidency in the rear view forever. But for the survival of our constitutional democracy, they wrote, again, before the Trump riot on Capitol Hill, Congress must impeach him again. And this time, they say, disqualify him from future federal office. Joining us now is one of the three authors of that op-ed. Ben Clements is board chair and senior legal advisor at Free Speech for People. And perhaps even more importantly today, is a former federal prosecutor and an attorney in both the private and public sectors for more than 30 years with an expertise in constitutional law. Welcome back to the broadcast, Mr. Clements.
Thank you, Brad. Good to be with you.
All right. There was a lot to cover in that intro. But again, kudos for being ahead of the crowd, for jumping in and calling for impeachment, a second impeachment, even before what we saw on Wednesday at the Capitol. Let me pick up where your op-ed does on the need to impeach Trump. Why is an impeachment with just 2 weeks left so important to you and John and Ron as you see it?
Well, for several reasons, Brad. You know, at the time we wrote the op-ed, we were only dealing with the first major set of felonies that the president committed this week in the effort to falsify the Georgia election results in his favor. At this point, we obviously have a second set of felonies in connection with his incitement of a seditious mob on Congress, which creates an even greater urgency.
Mm-hmm.
But the initial concern and the main point of our article is that there is really, for the most part, only one sure way to ensure that Donald Trump is not permitted to again run for office in this country, as indeed he is grossly unfit, we all know now, to hold any office, let alone the presidency of the United States. And that way is through the impeachment power. Congress has the power to impeach, and if the Senate convicts, a officer can be removed, which is what people most associate with impeachment,
mm-hmm.
but they can also be disqualified from ever holding federal office again. And so that, aside from the removal, which is now needed more urgently than ever, there is the need to disqualify him to prevent him from running in 2024 or for running for anything else at any time in the federal government.
Is being barred from holding future federal office, is that automatically a part of a successful impeachment? In other words, if last February the Senate had voted to remove him, would he automatically be barred from holding office in the future, or is that something they have to specifically state in articles of impeachment?
They do have to specifically, well, it doesn't have to be specifically stated in the articles of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
So the Articles of Impeachment set forth the basis for the impeachment. It sets forth the high crimes and misdemeanors. And then removal tends to be automatic, although technically what happens is the Senate votes whether or not to convict.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is for the Senate to vote, and you need a two-thirds vote to convict on the impeachment charges.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is what is sort of the equivalent to, in criminal law, sentencing. And so sentencing typically automatically in an impeachment context will include removal, but then the Senate needs to specifically vote and approve language that disqualifies the official from holding office again.
Okay. So that's I guess, the step that we did not get to at the beginning of the year, that sentencing part where we would have learned about that. So
exactly. Had the Senate done their duty, or had the 52 members of the Republicans in the Senate done their duty rather than sided with and enabled Donald Trump to continue to tear down the nation and bring us what we saw earlier this week, they would have then taken the next step of, are they going to just remove him, or are they also going to disqualify him from future office?
Got it. And just since I mentioned how you guys, as usual, were ahead of the curve, Desi Doyen came across some of this audio from a younger Ben Clements back in February of 2020.
We were all much younger then,
yeah,
Brad.
Yeah, exactly. Saying this, I think, in front of the was this in Boston at the courthouse?
I believe it was actually a rally on the Boston Common, and I think I was on the steps of the Massachusetts State House.
Here's Ben Clements rabble-rousing February 6, 2020, right after, I guess, Trump had been acquitted.
Guilty,
all those
guilty,
52
guilty,
senators
guilty.
Who adopted that sick, twisted, and self-destructive logic today in voting not to remove Donald Trump, for all of them, they are no longer just his enablers. They are his co-conspirators.
Well, you nailed that one, Ben. That said, is there any reason to believe those co-conspirators would be any less co-conspiratory if there was a second impeachment at this point?
Well, there may be. I'm not going to be overly optimistic. It does take two-thirds to convict, as we know. On the other hand, there have thankfully been some changes in the Senate, but the biggest impact of those changes is not so much that there are now a relatively small number closer to the number you needed just on the Democratic side, but that the Democrats will control the Senate, and Chuck Schumer, of course, is going to be the Senate majority leader. And so they will control the process and the trial of impeachment. And so that is a very different situation than what we had a year ago when the Ukraine extortion, election interference, impeachment articles were delivered to the Senate. We didn't have a real trial. We had a sham trial. There was essentially no evidence presented in the Senate, and they simply railroaded it to a vote to acquit. That one had happened this time.
You're right.
This time, the Senate could hold a real trial and put a lot more pressure on people on the Republican side of the fence to decide, are they going to stand up and vote to acquit someone who waged war on our democracy and incited the seditious mob?
And I had completely forgotten about that part, piecing that together, since the Democrats have just gained a controlling majority just days ago, that, yeah, at this point, I guess it only takes a majority vote, presumably the vice president, Kamala Harris, eventually would be able to break that tie to call for witnesses in an actual trial. Now,
exactly,
which really could be a game changer. Might have been a game changer back in January and February, but now for sure. Now, Ben, I know that people are, you know, thinking here, well, this timeline is impossible. This entire process before January 20th, by the way, Kamala Harris wouldn't even be vice president before then. But it's not actually necessary, as you note in your op-ed, that this all be done by January 20. In fact, impeachment proceedings can take place even after a president is out of office?
Well, that's correct, and in fact, there is historical precedent of impeachment articles being brought against a federal official who, in an effort to avoid being impeached and convicted, promptly resigned before the House could actually vote on the impeachment articles. But the House went ahead and voted on the impeachment anyway, and then it went to the Senate, and there was, in fact, a trial. So, yes, the precedent is clear that even once his term is over, Trump can still be impeached and he can be convicted in the Senate, and he could, there'd no longer obviously be the need for removal, but he then could be disqualified from holding federal office ever again.
And as you note, the makeup of the Senate, it will be a little bit different, and some of the Republicans may be feeling different as well. I'm just getting this breaking news, Ben, from AP saying that Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski tells an Alaska newspaper that Trump should resign, saying, quote, "I want him out." That would seem to underscore the idea that there could be a very different, a sense of thought amongst Republicans if, in fact, Donald Trump is put on trial once again in the Senate. You also note that in your Boston Globe op-ed, a renewed impeachment would also put Congress in a stronger position to challenge a potential presidential self-pardon. Now, I would argue that I believe, in my opinion, it is pretty much ironclad guarantee that he is going to self-pardon himself, or at least he is going to try.
He's going to attempt.
Yeah, he's going to try.
Perhaps he will attempt, although I certainly don't believe, and I think most legal constitutional scholars would agree with me that such an attempt would be invalid and not of any legal effect.
Mm. Well, I hope you're right about that. How would a renewed impeachment, as you describe it, put Congress in a stronger position to challenge that self-pardon?
Well, in a couple ways. One, the Constitution does specifically provide that pardons in the case of impeachment are not available, and that is language that has not been fully interpreted, and there are arguments that not only does that prevent a president from pardoning someone against, including himself and others, against the consequences of impeachment and removal, but that it also limits the authority to issue pardons that relate to impeachment proceedings. And so to the extent we're talking about overlapping charges between the impeachment and criminal charges, that would be an additional reason why the pardon could be invalid. And also, of course, if they succeed in removing him, although, as you point out, that's unlikely in the next 14 days, once he's removed, he's no longer in a position to pardon anybody. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's one of the reasons why you're saying this time when they impeach him again, they should do it for a whole long laundry list of things that if they are included, I guess that would make it more complicated for him to self-pardon. Ben, I've got just a couple more minutes here. Let me hit a few more points quickly. On Thursday night, A Capitol Police officer died following the confrontations with the Trump attempted insurgency on Wednesday. Does that make Donald Trump an accessory to murder or manslaughter or whatever it's determined to be as you see it? And is that even an impeachable offense, or is that a separate criminal matter entirely?
Well, it may well be both, Brad. Certainly, as the U.S. Attorney in the District of Columbia has acknowledged, they are, he tells us, investigating all possible responsible parties for this seditious attack on Congress. And he included, when asked, the president in that group. And there is very well established federal law that when you participate in a conspiracy, or when you aid and abet crime, but particularly when you engage in a conspiracy, you can be held legally responsible for the foreseeable acts of your co-conspirators. And I don't think there's any question that when you look at the speech that Trump gave to those people who attacked Congress yesterday, and you look at what he has said on his Twitter feed in recent days and weeks, and you look at his promotion of violence in general over the last 4 years, it was absolutely foreseeable that the people that he conspired with, that he urged to attack Congress, would engage in violence and that people could be killed. So, yes, I think it's a very real live question whether the president is liable for those deaths.
Did you get the sense, as I described that hostage video he released on Thursday night, did you get the sense that that was sort of a CYA video that he was trying to put out after getting scared about exactly that?
100%. And of course, you're exactly right to contrast it with the video that he made the day before, after having watched, apparently, reportedly with glee, as his mob attacked Congress, he told them all that he loved them and that they're very special people. So his efforts to condemn them in the hostage tape the next night are not credible. And it's quite clear whether it's that he thinks or his lawyers think that that might help him avoid a criminal rap, or whether he was told that he needs to get up there and do that, or they're going to invoke the 25th Amendment, it seems pretty clear that he was coerced into making that tape.
And I guess anybody who might have coerced him in some way, presuming it wasn't his lawyer, but family members or anybody else who told him, hey, you have to make this video, I guess they could be called into court or even into an impeachment to explain why it was he made that video and why, you know, what they told him in the bargain. Ben, looking forward beyond the moment right now, the potential of the 25th Amendment, the potential of impeachment, beyond that, Free Speech for People released a public letter today, I believe, calling on Judge Merrick Garland, who is now President-elect Biden's designated choice for Attorney General, urging Garland to create an independent task force in the DOJ to investigate, quote, any potential federal criminal or civil violations that may have been committed by President Trump, members of his administration, or his campaign, business, or other associates. Well, that's going to have to be a pretty big task force, Ben. But why do you find it necessary to send this letter? I mean, can't we presume that the Biden DOJ will, in fact, move to investigate all manner of potential Trump crimes?
Well, one would hope. And just to clarify really quick, Brad, it may need to be a big task force, but part of what we were recommending was a task force that could coordinate investigations that may be going on, and some of them we know have been going on, in different divisions of the Justice Department around the country. For example, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York has had a number of investigations that relate to criminal activity of Donald Trump, including, of course, the case that resulted in the prosecution and conviction of Michael Cohen, in which Donald Trump was identified as individual one, an unidentified or slightly unidentified but well-recognized co-conspirator. And so, yes, these investigations have gone on, but the reason, to get to your question, why there's the need to call for this is we are hearing, as we often do when a Democratic administration comes into office following a corrupt and sometimes lawless Republican administration, none we've ever seen quite like this, but there have been parallels in the past where there is a quick call to turn the page, that all will be forgiven. And we are hearing those calls broadly already. And you hear this phrase, we need to look forward. Even I've heard this from members of Congress that are afraid to impeach. We need to look forward, not backwards. But first of all, the criminal justice system always, to some degree, needs to look backwards to adjudicate criminal activities taking place in the past. But the bigger point here is, if we really want to move forward, if we really want to restore the integrity of the Department of Justice, there must be accountability for the crimes of this administration, and particularly of Donald Trump. And there must be accountability for the destruction that he has created to our democracy and to the Department of Justice. And so the reason we're calling for this is I think there is a risk that there will be this temptation to say he's out of office and let's move on. And I think that would be a grave mistake that will invite more lawless activity, that will invite more of the kind of activity we saw on Wednesday with the attack on the Capitol.
Yep. I couldn't agree more, and which is why I'm so grateful to you guys at FSFP for always being ahead of these curves. You know, there's a lot of great groups out there. There's very few that I tell our listeners to please keep an eye on. Please try to support. Free Speech for People is one of them. You can find their work and donate as you see fit and so forth at freespeechforpeople.org. You can and should follow them on the Twitters at FSFP. That's Free Speech for People, FSFP. And you can follow Ben on the Twitters as well. He is Ben T. Clements. Ben, always great speaking with you, sir. Keep up the good work. And I suspect we'll have a lot to talk to you about in the very near future.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you very much, Brad, and thank you for the kind words and the support.
You bet. Thank you. Okay, I'll take a quick break here. And by the way, Desi Doyen, not a moment too soon. Randy Rainbow is back to take us out of this hellish week. That is straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
Yeah.
And what's on the other side?
You know, there are so many songs about rainbows, but there's not nearly enough songs by Randy Rainbow. Welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We will now get to one that has from Randy Rainbow that has come in just in time, not a moment too soon, but to repeat that breaking news I had with Ben Clements just a few minutes ago. In fact, New York Times confirms Lisa Murkowski called on Donald Trump to resign and says that she may leave the Republican Party if they continue to align with Donald Trump.
Wow.
Also breaking from New York Times during the break there, Twitter has now permanently banned Donald Trump, citing risks of further incitement of violence from the President of the United States. That also not a moment too soon, Twitter. In fact, probably about 3 or 4 or 5 years too late, but we'll take what we can get. All right, speaking of what we can get the latest. Oh, man, this is a good one. From the great Randy Rainbow.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media.
A twiddler with no proof. Sounds like a horrible idea for a musical, no? Or at least a horrible idea for a president. Well, in just a couple weeks, he won't be anymore. And whether you're happy about it or not, there are rules that must be followed. Like my personal rule of not repeating a song I just parodied a few months ago, but you people won't stop f***ing DMing me to request it, so here we are. More importantly, you ask, how does a desperate lame duck president and his bootlicking minions with no hope or evidence try to overturn an election they've clearly lost multiple times? I can tell you in one way.
We will not take it anymore.
Sedition!
Sedition! Sedition!
Huh? Look it up.
Sedition!
Girl.
Sedition! Sedition!
We had an election that was stolen.
Sedition!
La 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 la!
Right.
La 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 la!
Right.
He denies us that we can't admit. He's attacking, cause he's cracking. Shouldn't he be packing up his shit?
This was a fraudulent election.
Who would attempt to rally up a mob and try to stage a coup to steal a fair election? Who's so verklempt he couldn't hold his job? He's begging like a little bitch.
The loser, the loser.
It was a landslide election.
Sedition. The loser, the loser.
Stop the steal.
Sedition.
We won the election and it's not fair to take it away from us.
Could anyone defend the calls he's made? It strikes on free democracy. Maybe they would finally grow some balls if they'd stop thinking only of their own damn selves.
Consider the evidence.
Ambition, ambition.
This is my opportunity to stand up.
Ambition, election, election.
This was a
a fraudulent election.
Citizen!
I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
He says he only needs 11,000 votes to win. He swears they stuffed the ballot box, but girl, they didn't.
Delusion.
Corruption.
Sedition.
Election.
Decision.
Invasion.
Sedition.
The election that just occurred, quote, was rigged.
The Constitution clearly states it's time that he concede.
Get out.
Maybe once they lock him up, he'll finally learn to read.
Where?
In prison.
Here they do a nice spread.
Sedition. Transition. Transition.
Nobody knows what the hell is going on.
Sedition.
We will never concede.
Who would attempt to carry up a bomb and call secret letters? How's that place in the middle of 20 grades? All this stuff was a bomb like a rock.
Without sedition, his lies would be as shady as a twiddler with no proof.
This was a fraudulent election.
Girl, bye.
Thank you very much, Randy Rainbow. Indeed. That helps. Thank you also, Desi Doyen, my producer, to my guest today, Ben Clements, freespeechforpeople.org, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. It is always greatly appreciated. It is always an honor. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can download any of them anytime, going back years for free at bradblog.com. You can also drop me email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am simply The Brad Blog. And of course, all of this is made possible by those of you who stop by bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. Thank you. All right, that's it. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.